All right, for use, there are people on the computer this morning or on Zoom, and thanks to Eric, hooked up. We just prayed and thankful for having you all out there this morning as we finish up this 4 weeks of teaching on Christians in the workplace. And, you know, as I look around this room this morning, I don't know what everybody does in their work. I know what some of you do. I don't know what some of you are still doing. But as I look around and even looking around this church, we recognize that there are a lot of different jobs here, a lot of different professions. There's teachers in education, there's businessmen, service workers, there's homemakers, there's people involved in technology, consultants, farmers, retired, business owners. So we have a little bit of everything here within our church and even represented in this class. And I could go on and on, especially as we think just as brothers and sisters that we know within this church. Here's my question. And I said that one of the things that I was going to do was ask questions. What is your goal or vision for the work you are about to engage in? In other words, when you get up in the morning, what's your goal? What's your vision? And I think that's something that I want to talk about today. I know that's what God has pointed me to. Why are we working? Why are we doing the things that we do? Now, here's where I need answers to questions and help. Okay. How would the world answer this question?
So you retire as quickly as possible.
Okay. Others? I can read my list. And I'll do that. And two of them have already been mentioned this morning. It's to make money, to buy more stuff, to promote myself and rise to a prominent position. Power. I think you can look around and even in the political sense today is what are we after? Power. To be my own boss. We may own our own businesses. Or we may be in positions where we can basically be our own boss, to show off my talents, to buy what I need. Obviously, we're working because we need to have food, we need to have clothing, we need to have shelter, because that is what my father did, or my mother did. So I can retire early or easily. In some cases, to serve others. In some cases, to live in a bigger, quote, nicer home. And I want to be noticed. Those are some of the things that I put down on my list. You got others that you may want to add? Anyone? All right, then I guess it's just my list that we'll work with, okay?
To make history,
okay. I think that's a good one. Obviously, I didn't think of that one, but yeah, you want to be remembered for something, right? So history of my life and how I've done something in life that people will remember. I think that's a great one to add. All right. Now we become Christians. We've been born again by the Spirit of God. Our eyes have been opened to what we are without Him. We recognize that we're sinners. We recognize our only hope is in Jesus Christ and what He did and accomplished and finished on the cross. So the question I have is, what should our goal be? as you think about your work, as you think about getting up every day, and I say it that way, but maybe it's the afternoon when you go to work, I don't know. But when you think about your work as a Christian, what's your goal? What's your vision?
I think when you're actively working, and I'm speaking in past tense for myself, you are so focused on what is required of your work that it takes up a lot of your thoughts and your planning and so forth. But once you're retired and have more time, you find yourself when you get up and you have the time and so forth, that you're thinking of things to do to help and to serve other people, because we all know that when you can do something for somebody else, you're the one that gets more joy out of it than other people do.
Okay, that's good. I think you're right. I think that, the Bible says that the older are to teach the younger. I think when you get in a position, as you said, when you think back about what you've done over the years, you think differently now, maybe, than when you were actually out in the fray. And I'll just put it that way, because it is a fray, if we think about it. Others? Yeah,
Ron. I thought of Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see good works and glorify your Father.
Okay.
And when you're actually working, the challenge is everybody's going to have those God-given opportunities to proclaim the Lord in the workplace. But the challenge when you're actually really working is those are hard to fit in and balance with your work.
Okay.
And it takes effort and commitment to do that. But then once you retire, you do have more opportunities to do some of the things that we probably truly should have been doing before, even though there were jobs that you didn't have. But the main thing is just remembering that you're trying to point others to the Lord as you're going through your and really, there's not as much of a difference between retirement and non-retirement. That's just something we think in society, but we should never retire. I mean, that's just something. You retire from a job, but we should not retire as most people think retire.
Okay, Rob, you want to come up here and just teach, and I'll sit down. No. I think that you're right on target with where we're headed, and I think with this class, when this class came up, it's like Christians in the workplace, and I've mentioned this, I think, before. Is the fact is, what is the workplace, and about Christians and in that workplace, and today we're going to talk a little bit more about actually being out in the work field, I guess, more than anything else. But nevertheless, it's about being Christian. What's the most important? What's the most important of that phrase of this class? What's the most important thing? Word in that phrase of Christians in the workplace. It's about being a Christian. And the workplace is the workplace, wherever that's at. And so as we look at this morning, I want to throw something out at you that has really been on my mind, even as I'm retired now and what God wants in our lives. And I'm going to throw this out from the standpoint that as we get up as Christians, whether we're old or whether we're young, and we're really reading God's word, what's his goal for us?
Conform to the image of Christ.
Exactly. And as we think about work, how does that work? You know, we talked originally, you know, what, 4 weeks ago about God and God being the first one to work. Whose image were we created in? In God's. So, you know, when Adam was formed, he was created in the image of God without sin. And as we think about that, what happened to him when he did sin? And what happened to the human race when he did sin? We lost our image of God. We lost it. He lost it. And because of his sin, we lost it. So we're now walking around, basically, if we're not Christians, with our eyes closed, in the image of man, in mankind. And we don't know the difference because we are so blind. And we're really just dead men walking. So as we talk about the gospel, and we talk about what is the true gospel, it's about man who is now living in his own image, being reconciled to the image of God, and who Christ is, right? And being born again into new life. You know, we can read passages and we can read this Bible and we can read passages in Ephesians where it talks about slaves and how slaves are supposed to be and how masters are supposed to be. And it gives us direction in this word. But I think that we, at times as Christians, whether it be our work, whether it be our home life, or anything that happens to us, if we're truly one of God's children, he has a purpose. And that purpose is to make us into the image of Christ. Have you ever thought about that? What does that mean? What does that really mean? I've thought a lot about it. And I've thought a lot about it since I've gotten older too. And the fact of, you know, as we grow older in life and we start recognizing that one of these days we're going to kick the bucket. I'll just say it that way. I'm a farm boy. We're going to die. And, looking back over life, how have I been conformed to the image of Christ? What do I believe today that I didn't believe 40 years ago? And whose work was that to bring me to that point? And the work that we have and the work that we've been given, we need to recognize, I think, and I believe, that even though we may not like it, maybe we will really enjoy it. Maybe we really like it. Maybe we don't. But if we're really in God's will and in his purpose, he has us there for a purpose. And it's not necessarily always to help other people or anything else. I believe his purpose is to conform us to his image through Christ Jesus. That may mean that we do things differently. It may mean that he's allowing us to be treated differently. Maybe not in the best ways. Maybe there's times when we feel when we should have gotten a promotion, we didn't get a promotion. And somebody else got it that didn't work as hard as we did. Or maybe it's somebody said something bad about us. or maybe we're struggling with sin in our own life outside of work that causes us to be different. But God is there with us. He's never deserted us if we're truly born again. So we may have bosses that come alongside us sometimes and ask us to do things that we really don't want to do. But as long as they're not scripturally wrong, we need to do them. We may not agree with them. But in order to be conformed to the image of Christ, ultimately, so that he can be glorified, we have to look at things different.
I think that's one thing that, as I've gotten older, work is kind of like the vehicle for relationship building and building those relationships. You know, the work changes. You can argue about, you know, what program we should go with here or there. It really doesn't matter. It's about building those relationships, because that collection of people God's put around you would not be that collection of people if you weren't working in that place at that time. So just realizing that more and more recently as you have those conversations with people that you know, it a work conversation then slowly migrates to things bigger than work. Those are the times that God's, you know, put those people in your life to have those conversations. So it's been interesting to see that. I don't want to say evolution, because that's a new report shows the words, but to see that, you know, how work changes in that regard as you get older.
I think the word evolution is probably more the word of sanctification.
Yeah.
It's making us like Christ. We've all worked with people, and you go to work, and I don't think any of us work individually where we don't work with somebody, right? I mean, you're either working with possibly students, you're working with customers, or you're working with people that are over you, or people that, you know, you're caught in the middle of because you're trying to take care of these people and somebody else is telling you how to take care of them and they're not even there. There's all kinds of businesses, or you may be out in the workplace just doing a job every day, same job every day, you know, every day. And I thank God for people like that. I used to have a person that maybe I've mentioned that already. And if I have, I repeat myself a lot. I think that's part of getting old. But, you know, there's this lady that ran this filler and watched hundreds of thousands and probably millions of gallons of bottles go around this filler every day, you know, and stand there and just watch. And I can remember looking out at her one day and thinking to myself, man, I don't think I could do that. In fact, I know I couldn't do that. But I'm thankful for people that can. You know, and as Christians, we may be one of those that are just out there doing that every day. But we do it to the glory of God. And, you know, we need each other. In our workplace, we can't do things on our own most of the time. Some people, and probably the majority of people that you're working with, may not be Christian. And they're out there for all the other reasons that I listed. They're out there. What do you hear? They can't wait till the weekend. So they go party or whatever they're going to do. Go fishing, golfing. And I'm not against any of those things other than maybe partying the wrong way, I guess I'd be against. But for the most part, there's nothing wrong with those ideas. It's just the fact of even doing those, what's our goal? Yeah, it is. The fact is, you know, and what's it, you know, here we are, as I said, we're out of the image, we're in the image of man. Now, once we're born again to a new life, as Tim mentioned, we're born again. All right. Are we like Christ at the time we're born again? we're in Christ. So in God's eyes, looking at us, his righteousness is put on us. On the other hand, what's as God's ultimate purpose to make us like Christ? And I'm going to go to Romans 8, 28 and 29 to go, because I think it's the best verses. For all things work together for good, that to those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And then in the next verse, what's his purpose? It's to be conformed to the image of Christ. And I think that we at times don't think about that enough. And our work is used by God to help do that. And we're going to get out of here early this morning, earlier, unless you guys all have some things to add. But let me read some things to you that I think that were really helpful to me. I want to go to Colossians this morning. And again, this is similar to some of the things we read last week, but it says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek, Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, which we've mentioned, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. I think forgiveness is something in this world we've forgotten. We don't know what that word means. Not only do the word forgiveness outside of the church, but even forgiveness inside the church. Forgiving each other at times when we need to overlook, or we may need to come alongside and help someone. How many times have you heard, you know, well, this so-and-so did this, or so-and-so did this. You know, we need forgiveness. And we need forgiveness in the workplace, too. Because even though we may be a superior or have a superior that thinks they do everything perfectly right, they're just men, and they're men at best. So they're going to make mistakes also. And if they don't know Christ, think of their condition. Think of their condition if they don't know Christ. Dead men walking. No light in their life at all. No joy in their life. No hope in their life. And remember, that was us before God shined a light into our lives. Kathy and I taught a discipleship class one time, and you know, she's big on word pictures. And I was thinking about that one day, and, you know, we have new believers in our class, and it was actually a new believers class, and we were supposed to be teaching discipleship. And so we were talking about salvation one day, and I was trying to think, how can I represent what happens in salvation? And maybe this is going to sound somewhat simple or simplistic, but I was going to demonstrate our condition. So I had her make up these little tags and put them on a black vest. which I was going to wear. And these tags said, lying 1,230 times. Lustful thinking 765 times. Gossip 450. And I went on, and we had this sweater vest, this black sweater vest, completely covered with these tags. And so we were, my intent was to take it to class and say, this is salvation to me, and turn the lights off in the room and walk around in that room talking. Complete darkness. And then all at once, the Holy Spirit opened my eyes and turned on the light that I could see myself looking down at all these tags, thinking, I have no hope, none. What's going to happen? And I'm trying to tear these tags off, and they won't come off. And all at once, the Spirit looks down upon you and puts a red sweater over your black sweater vest, representing the blood of Christ. And you recognize your only hope is in Him. And you fall in repentance before Him. And then all at once you pull that red sweater vest off, and the black one comes with it. And you stand in a white shirt, completely white and pure. And I couldn't get over that thought in my mind about how that represented to me what happened. And then at that point, because I had new life and the Spirit of God was in me, that His word become more real, and things changed in my life. That moment. And I think as we look through and we look that Christ has saved us, what has He done for us to make us to live in this life and allow us and to help us to live in this life to be conformed to His image? Will we be given to direct us to the goal of being conformed to His image? New life in Christ by the Spirit of God. That's what He's given us. He's given us His word, His example through His word. He's given us access to the Father through prayer. He's given us victory over death, eternal life. He's given us sacraments. What's baptism represent? Death, burial, and resurrection. When we go into baptism, we go down as a dead man walking. And when we come up, We come up with a new spirit within us, the spirit of Christ. He's given us communion. Why? To constantly remind us of what he's done on the cross and what he sacrificed for our lives. He's given us the church, our brothers and sisters in Christ, to help encourage us and help us. Are we going to be perfect? Is being conformed to his image a one-time thing? We need each other to help, to encourage, at times to, I'll just use the word rebuke, but at times to be rebuked also. To encourage, to stand beside each other, to recognize his ultimate goal is for all of us to be conformed to one image, even though we're all different people and we all have different personalities and we all think differently about different things. Ultimately, he has one purpose, and that's to conform us to his image. We have forgiveness. We need forgiveness for others. But we have forgiveness too, because we're not going to be perfect. What's 1 John say? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He knows we're not going to be perfect. We will be one day. He's given us armor to battle with. What's the armor that we have? His righteousness as a breastplate, his truth as a girdle, the gospel on our feet. Those are things to protect us. Shield of faith. Our faith didn't come within us ourselves. He had to give us that too. Gives us the sword of his word. And a helmet of salvation. I always wondered why that was one of the last ones to come up. Not thinking that maybe that should be the first, but really, because of these other things, it puts on us a helmet. We know that we're his, and we have assurance that we can walk with that armor each and every day. Whatever comes our way, whatever comes our way, because he's sovereign. What else does he put into our lives at times? And it may be work. It may be a trial. Maybe suffering. You know, maybe there's things that happen that guide us about our own lives, that we can see happening in our own lives. He's done it all. He said it's finished. I have one last verse. This is in 1 John. Chapter 3. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But what we will be, but we know, I'm sorry, beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is, and everyone who thus hopes in him, purifies himself as he is pure. Genesis, we're created in God's image. Sin comes into the world, and we're all at once in man's image. Christ comes into the world, dies for our sins, for our salvation, opens our eyes to see. We're born again. We go on in life being made like him. And when we die, and when we see him, we will finally be made like him again. It's something that this week has really played on my heart, was the fact that we as Christians sometimes, and we've said it before, think it's about us, but it's about making us like Christ. And whether it be the workplace or whether it be home or whether it be anything that we're doing, we should do it to the glory of God. We talked about integrity. We talked about humility. We talked about work. And we've talked about now being conformed to the image of God or Christ. If our work, and whether it be in work or whether it be in our politics or whether it be in our everyday life, I think one of the things that we can do is getting up each and every day and saying, Lord, I can't do this on my own. And he knows that. Being humble enough to admit it. Being humble enough to cry out to him. He's a father. He loves us. He's going to do what's best for us. And recognizing that as we go out into this world, he's calling us to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. How do we know that image? Because he's given us his word. He's given us his spirit. And he's given us all kinds of things that we can do to grow in Christ. So, you know, like I said, we're all in different jobs. We all have different things to do. Each and every day we meet with different problems. And I could come in here and I could say, well, you know, this is the way you should handle this problem. And this is the way you should handle that problem. But I don't know. I don't know what your situation is. But I know who does. And I think we all know who does. And we get so wrapped up in this world and doing things that we forget to take time to think, to meditate, and to understand what our goal is and what's God's goal for us, and that he is there to complete it because He began the good work in us. This all makes sense to me from the beginning of Genesis to Revelation. And even from that standpoint, we know Christ is coming back. Don't know exactly when. We can kind of look at the seasons. We don't know exactly how that's going to all happen. But there's one thing for sure. Christ is coming back to judge this world. And to redeem us to eternal life. Think about what the garden was to begin with. And how good that would have been. And how we would have liked that. But we have no idea what's in store for us. We only know that it's going to be something beyond our imagination and comprehension. And the reason is because we're going to see Jesus face to face. Anything anybody wants to add? That's my lesson for 4 weeks. I hope it was helpful in some way. I trust that God has opened your eyes like he's opened my eyes to some of these truths. Because as we've talked before, if you teach these things and if you study this word, it's amazing what he shows you, even though you think you're pretty well off. And you're reminded not to think too highly of yourself. Any comments, questions?
I've been drawing a lot of encouragement from during all this last few months from 1st and 2nd Peter. And especially if you think about some of the things that Peter struggled with, and we always are down on Peter for all the different things that he does, said, and did, but we all are just like him. I mean, when it comes to reality, we do the same thing that he did, find ourselves in the same problems and issues that he found. But in 2 Peter, and in light of what you taught today, and I want you to hear these words because I think they're just as practical as what you just said. And these are the words that 2 Peter used in his introduction to 2 Peter. He says, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust.
Yeah. The great confidence that we have is that he saved us and he is doing everything to do exactly that, to make us partakers of the divine nature. And when you really meditate upon that and you really think about that, and what does that mean? I think it changes your thinking about lots of things that are going on around you and are going on around us. There's great confidence in that. Great confidence builder. That even if things don't go our way in November, that God's in control of our lives. He protects us. And, you know, going back to Paul, if I live, I live. If I don't, that's better yet. When we start recognizing those things, because we're in such a world that everybody tells you got to do this and that and everything else, you know, like I said earlier, it's even hard to get up here and say this, and you know, I can use experiences that I've had, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything to y'all. But God's working in your circumstances. When I wake up in the middle of the night and something's on my mind, there's great peace in that. And trust. And not only that, it's a building of our assurance of our salvation. Because then we recognize that God's doing something that I can't do. And if he's working in my life like that, I'm all the more anxious to get up the next morning and see what the day's going to bring us. And like I said last week, sometimes our personalities don't show that. And we say, well, that's just the way we are. But going back to the pastor's message this morning, we should have great joy and knowing God is at work in our lives like that. And we need to love each other and encourage each other with those words. Anything else? Thanks for the input this morning. Thanks for the reminder to get started early and not finish late. We need each other. So, yeah.
One thing I thought of, the workplace is, sometimes no matter how focused and all you are on trying to remember, hey, I'm supposed to be a light and so on, there's going to be times when it's a real challenge to keep that focus. And kind of like you're saying, when you need each other, it's looking for those opportunities to encourage others around you that are having challenges. So the door system can really beat you down.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great opportunity for us to be a witness of the love of Christ. Again, it's about Christ. So, like I said, I've enjoyed being up here. I've been nervous, obviously, and that's just my personality. But at the same time, I want to encourage you with the fact that God's working in us, and we're not on our own. And He's making us into partakers of the divine, of his divine, his divinity in a sense. So let's pray and then we'll finish up and we can go out. Father, thank you for this time this morning. Thank you for your spirit being here to lead us, even when the words don't come out the way they ought to. From my mouth, it's dependent upon your Holy Spirit to teach anyways. So Lord, I pray that even in the midst of all we've been through and all that's around us, that we would learn to meditate, to listen, to discern, that you would provide us with the wisdom that we need to encourage others and to help each other in these times. And just pray that your love would shine through us so that others might come to Christ through your sovereign will and your sovereign plan for their lives. Pray for our families. We pray for our kids. We pray for our grandkids. We pray for whatever, dear Lord, that where we're at in life at this point, for your wisdom to make us to understand what you have for us and how are we to live in this time. We love you. We thank you. We pray that for this time coming up, that there'll be great fellowship and that your Holy Spirit would just fill this tent with your presence and the love of Christ would just shine out. For we ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.